Welcome to the August 29th, 2010, 11 o'clock worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Mr. Manners. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
A few announcements we'll make as we get started this morning. We'd like to find out who is in worship today. The way we do that is on the inside aisle of every pew, we have pew pads. This is a place for members and guests to write your name down, give us contact information, check the appropriate boxes. This gives you a way to give us some information and we can communicate back with you. We do ask, send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out. Once it reaches the last person, if you could send it back to where it got started, that will help us collect that. We do ask, once it gets back to that first person who signed it this morning, if you could tear out the pages that were used so our ushers can collect those at the end of the service. Other announcements that we'll make as we get started today. There is children's time. We invite all the kids to come down during hymn number 27. We want you to come down and be a part of that. Let's see. Mary, do you have an announcement?
Good morning. If you will notice this morning in your order of worship a little card, and this little card said squeal on a singer. And I hear all the time, or on occasion, oh, you know who needs to be in the choir? So-and-so needs to be in the choir. This is your opportunity to let me know who so-and-so is. There is a little basket as you go out this door. It's got a little piggy on it to carry on our little squealing pig theme. And I would love for you to write on it the name of somebody that you think belongs in the choir. Maybe you hear this lovely voice behind you every Sunday when you sing, and you've thought, oh, why do they not sing out and up front more often? If you will just kind of pass those names on, I would love to have them. Now, the other side of that is, because we have these little cards in there, that does not mean you don't sing today because you're afraid somebody's going to write your name down. We take worship seriously around here, so remember, you're not singing for the people around you, you're singing for the one above who's listening. But I invite you to sing from your heart this morning, and I invite y'all to use those talents that God has given you as well. Thanks.
Now, I know some of your tricks. You know, with the pew pads, we find out Justin Bieber has been in worship today. We find out Elvis Presley has been in worship today. So we encourage you to put real people that are actually in our church on those sheets of paper. That will help Mary out quite a bit. So it is a special day at College Park, as it is every Sunday. But today we're focusing on our service of affirmation. This is the beginning of the new year. The Sunday school year has kicked off. We spend some time in the service a little bit later, praying for certain individuals in our church, parents, teachers, students. This is our time. We want to begin the year off right, and that's what we're going to spend some time a little bit later in the service, just to make you aware of that. It's also the day that our prayer partner ministry starts over. We have the opportunity every year at this time for all the adults in our church to be a prayer partner with one of the students in our church. This starts with babies all the way through college and grad students that we have in our church. We have about 120 that we need adult prayer partners for. So the way we do this is very simple. Some of you have had the same prayer partner year after year. You've developed that relationship, and that's perfectly fine. Some of you, you've never done it. Some of you have done it for several years, and you've had somebody new every year. It's very simple. At the end of the service today, you'll go out these doors and go down the steps towards Smith Hall, and go down that hallway. You will find our prayer partner ministry table. On that table, there are three stacks of envelopes. On each of the envelopes, there's a label. It says child, youth, or college student. And you pick the age group with which you would like to have to be a prayer partner with. And you would just grab one of those envelopes. You open up the envelope. You find the name of your prayer partner. Then you find there's a sheet of paper with the list of all the students on it. Find their name and write your name beside theirs. That helps us find out who is which prayer partner with who. Then you take the sheet of paper home, and it gives you all the information about that person, their name, their address, their phone number, their birthday, their age, their parents, email, and some ideas on how to be a prayer partner. And so this is, our ministry could not exist with families without the prayer partner ministry. We need you to be praying for these students, to be praying for their families, and we encourage you. We'd like to get these gone as quickly as possible. Usually it takes us up to a month, but I think we can do better this year to get all the envelopes gone. We usually get them all gone, but it just takes a little while. So if you could go ahead and take the initiative today and grab an envelope, put your name down beside your prayer partner, that would be great. We appreciate you doing that for us. Let's see. This Wednesday night, we invite everybody to come and to be a part. It's the last session of our summer series, and we're transitioning into the new year. The full Wednesday night schedule with children and youth activities will begin a week from Wednesday, but we're inviting everybody to come this week. Now we're getting back into school and to the swing of things. So big week this week. Other things that you'll find listed, schedule, upcoming events, opportunities for the week, you'll find that on the back of your bulletin. Any other announcements? We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. Just a few moments ago, you gave us your information on the pew pad. We appreciate you helping us out with that. We will take that contact information very seriously, and we will make sure the information gets to the right people. We'd like to give something back to you. If you're an usher, not if you're an usher, but if you're a guest, raise your hand right where you are. Our ushers will find you as they come back down the aisles. If you're a guest, just raise your hand. They'll recognize you, and they'll give you a packet of information. You'll find in the packet a letter from our pastor, as well as a little bit of the history of College Park, and also a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church. So we appreciate you especially being here this morning, and we pray that God's blessing would show up in a mighty way during this hour of worship. It's time for us to worship as the body of Christ. Have you ever thought about why is it important that we worship as together, as the body? There are many, many reasons. But as I think about our young people who go to school and they face a lot of pressures and temptations and things that would keep them from doing what God would have them to do. By knowing that there are other people in our life that are going through the same things that we're going through, God gives us strength. We need each other. That's why we worship as a corporate body, together. We need each other. We need one another to support and to love and to encourage. And we also worship together because that's how it's going to be done in heaven. This is just a glimpse of what we get to do for those who call on the name of Christ. We get to do together forever and ever and ever. Let's worship. Let's pray together. Father, you want us to join together, to sing your praise, to worship you in spirit and truth, to lift up your name above all names. This is worship. You remind us to not have any other God but you. You are the one true and living God. We feel your presence in this place. Remove distractions. May your presence in this place overwhelm us and focus us on your love and your sacrifice, your grace and your mercy, your strength and your wisdom. In Jesus' name. All the kids come on down. We'll wait till they get down here. All right. Come on, take a seat. Take a seat. Right down here. All right. How's everybody doing this morning? Did anybody have donuts this morning? Donuts. Six donuts. Oh, two at home and four here. Your dad's going to have fun today. That's good. That's good. Now, we talked about something. For those of you who were able to be in Smith Hall a few minutes ago, we talked about something. Bryson, what did we talk about? Shoes. But did I tell my story about my favorite shoes? No. I decided to wait. We talked about, everybody who wanted to wore their favorite shoes to church today. Well, these are my favorite shoes. These are great shoes. I bought these about 4 years ago. And we were going on a vacation, and knew I was going to do a lot of walking. And so I had to get some good shoes. And I love these shoes. Well, I've been to a lot of places in these shoes, and I've seen a lot of amazing things. But you want to know why these are my favorite shoes? Because my son was born when I was wearing these shoes. Well, I wonder, I thought that might happen. But these are my favorite shoes because I remember when he was born and everything about that moment. And it didn't matter what happened before, why I bought these shoes. If I went on vacation or if I ran in them, I remember them because Matthew was born when I was wearing these shoes. That's why they're my favorites. We all have favorite shoes, right? They make us run fast. They make us do cool stuff. They help us climb trees. They help us go to the beach, right? Well, you know, I thought about it. What do shoes do for us? They help us walk, right? Have you ever had a rock in your shoe? Does that hurt or what? You ever had a rock? That doesn't feel good. You want to get it out, right? Well, they help us walk. They help us go places. They help us do things, right? And so we were looking at a piece of scripture about that this is really important. And I want you to help me figure out what this means. This scripture talks about walking. I want you to help me figure out what this means. This comes from 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. This is how we know we are in Jesus. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. How do you walk like Jesus? What does that mean, to walk like Jesus? Any ideas? What do you think? Wallace, what do you think? Believe in him, okay. What are some of the things that Jesus did? Okay. Sacrificed himself. What else did Jesus do? What are some things that you learned about that Jesus does? Okay, he prayed. All right. Jesus can fly? Well, he did ascend to heaven, didn't he? I'm going to go with you on that one. All right. What else did Jesus do? What do you think he did, Bryson? He made everything in the whole world. Even shoes. That's right. But did he heal people? He healed people. And he made people whole. He made people walk. People that couldn't see. What did he do?
He put his hand on
them. Yeah?
No, he put mud on
them. He put mud on their eye. That's right.
And then they wiped it off.
And then what happened? They could see. He can make blind people see. But that Bible verse says we're to walk as Jesus did. What does that mean? If Jesus could do those kinds of things, what does it mean to walk just as Jesus did? Do exactly what he did. But wait a minute. I can't walk on water, can you? You can. I mean, we can put water in the baptistry, and if you believe hard enough, did Peter walk on water?
Yes.
He sure did. He got scared, and what happened? He looked down in the water, and he started drowning, and he reached up and grabbed Jesus' hands.
And he started walking.
That's right. Jesus wants us to walk just like him. That means treating people just like he did. That means not picking on people. Do you know how you can heal somebody? I'll give you a real simple way that you can heal somebody. Have you ever seen somebody that's had a bad day? What if you smiled at that person? Makes a big difference. When you smile at me, Murphy, makes a big difference. Jack, when you smile, look at there. See? Look at that smile. When you smile, you heal somebody just a little bit, just like Jesus. So, when you think about your shoes and all the places that they go, take you, I want you to be walking just like Jesus. Loving people, being nice to people, healing people. That's what he wants. Will you pray with me? God, we love you. And we thank you that you gave us the example of Jesus, who healed people, who sacrificed himself for us, who prayed for people, who walked on water. You want us to walk in faith just like him. That we believe that we can walk on water, that we can heal people. We can make a difference. These children can make a difference. Thank you for them. Give us all the strength to change the world one step at a time. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go back to your seats now. Good job.
As we think about Scripture and how important it is to us, we have this example right here. How about that? And how well the kids know the Scripture. That encourages me and warms my heart. This is the Word of God given for us, the people of God. And we share it as is our practice, as part of worship, to share Scripture. And this week's Scripture comes first from the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms. I'll be reading from Psalm 81, verse 1, and then skipping ahead to verse 10. Psalm 81, verse 1, and then 10 through 16. If you don't have your Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible located close by. Sing for joy to God our strength. Shout aloud to the God of Jacob. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. But my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. If my people would but listen to me, if Israel would follow my ways, how quickly would I subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes? Those who hate the Lord would cringe before him, and their punishment would last forever. But you would be fed with the finest of wheat, with honey from the rock. I would satisfy you. And from the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter of Hebrews, the first three verses, and then 15 and 16. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, as we gather in your house today on this beautiful Sunday morning, gather together for worship, to give our hearts and minds to you, Lord, we're thankful for many things. We're thankful for the opportunity to pray to you. We're thankful for the opportunity to gather in your name and to be able to worship you and to have a personal relationship with you. Lord, as we look this morning at where we are in our lives, this time of year just always feels like a new start, a new beginning. Even though it's not January, that we've just been accustomed to feeling like this time of year when school starts and fall is a little bit closer at hand. It feels like a new beginning. It feels like we're starting over. And whether we're starting preschool this year, or kindergarten, or high school, or college, or graduate school, or maybe for some of us, school is but a distant memory. But we're watching others begin a school year where we know the teacher that lives next door, the grandchild that's going to school for the first time this year. This time just always feels like a new beginning, Lord. As we think about that new beginning and we think about this new year and the way that we want to have a fresh start in our lives in many different ways, we look to you. And we look to you for an opportunity for a fresh start in our personal lives and in our spiritual lives that goes just beyond the calendar. Lord, we look for a fresh start because we know that's what we can find in you. That it doesn't really matter what we did yesterday. It doesn't really matter what happened last week or the week before or 2 years ago. Today is an opportunity for a fresh start. And your scripture tells us plain, simple, and clearly that if we turn ourselves over to you, if we turn our burdens and our worries and our cares and our concerns over to you, that you will take them from us, that you will handle them, and that we need not worry about them. We need to just trust you. Lord, as we look for a fresh start this morning and this week, help us to really do that. It's easy to say it. It's so hard to do it. Help us to commit to you. The thing that's really been weighing us down for months, for years, the thing that's just been weighing on us, help us to pray to you, to give it to you. Lord, we want to give it to you. You've told us that you'll take it, but we still want to just hold on so tightly to it. Help us not to do that, but to give it to you. Lord, the struggles that we've had, the things that have been a barrier between us and a better relationship with you, Lord, help us to trust you enough to knock those barriers down, to give of ourselves to you, to think that there is no reason on this earth or in heaven that we cannot have a fresh start, that we cannot start anew, to look to you, to be bolstered by you and strengthened by you, so that we may be new people, created anew in your image, to be the people that you created us to be. Lord, thank you for giving us this fresh start. Thank you for the opportunity of redemption and forgiveness through the love of Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us even when we don't deserve it. Thank you for remembering us and watching over us and protecting us, not because we've earned it, because we surely haven't, but because of who you are. We thank you for that, Lord. And at this time of year, when we're really excited about some other new beginnings, help us to remember an important opportunity for a fresh start, a new beginning, a chance to get right with you and to live in a way that you would have us to live and live in a way that would have incredible benefit and nourishment for us, and to live a life of peace and of prosperity, a life focused on you, free of this world. Lord, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for what you're doing for us. We thank you for the encouragement that these children give us and all the good things around us give us each day. For this fresh start and for everything in our lives, we thank you. Amen.
When Jeff asked the question about eating donuts, it brought to mind the fact that just about every time we come in this place, we eat, don't we? We really do. We eat a lot of food. We consume a lot of food, and every denomination kind of has their own jokes about eating and what we do when we get together. But, you know, I was reminded of the one someone sent me recently, and I think probably most of us have heard it, but it kind of encapsulates the whole concept about the little boy who is invited to bring a symbol to school, something that symbolizes his faith, something that symbolizes his religion / denomination, and a little Baptist boy brings a casserole dish. Okay, so I mean, and we see that, and we kind of chuckle, you know. But if you think about it, we do a lot of eating. You know, we have the covered dish lunches, we have dinner on the grounds, we have homecomings, we have pancake suppers, we have barbecue sales, we have smoked chicken on the site in Kentucky. We have cake. All, you know, we have all of this stuff, and we actually even have committees that their job is to organize food. You know, I don't know how you organize food. I guess it's organize people to bring food. But, you know, that's actually their job. And we eat every Wednesday night. We eat before the recreation service. We have adult Sunday school departments that get together and eat before Sunday school. The children get cookies. Do children still get cookies and juice during Sunday school? Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. The Pastor's Pal store is full of nutritious food. And, well, we have fruit snacks. That's probably as close as we get. But we like to eat a lot as people. And I want to read to you scriptural support for why we should eat when we come to church. Well, not really. It is a story, though, about eating. And it's Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. We'll read verse 1, and then we'll jump down to verses 7 through 14. And it is a story about eating. But it's really actually less about eating and more about something else. But we'll get to that. Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. It says, "One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. And if so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, 'Give this man your seat.' Then humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you're invited, take the lowest place so that when the host comes, he will say to you, 'Friend, move up to a better place.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted." And then Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends or brothers or relatives or your rich neighbors, because if you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." A beautiful story. It illustrates what we were kind of joking about, and that is the fact that we love to eat. You know, and if you love to eat, Luke's Jesus, the Jesus that Luke tells us about, he's your guy because he eats all the time. He eats with tax collectors. He feeds a multitude numerous times. He sends out messengers. He tells them, you know, go out and heal the sick and preach the gospel and eat whatever they give to you. And maybe most surprisingly, though, is the fact that Luke's Jesus eats with his enemies, the Pharisees. He eats with these guys not once, but at least three times that we know about. Now, you can figure why Jesus does it, right? I mean, Jesus preaches we should love our enemies and do them good. So he's just living out. He's walking in the right shoes, so to speak, Jeff. I mean, he's living out his own faith so that we can follow his example. But what's puzzling to me is not that Jesus acts the way he does. The puzzle for me is why in the world would the Pharisees invite him? I mean, because every time they invite him, it ends up very poorly for them. I mean, they usually end up getting chastised or embarrassed or something like that. Because when Jesus is invited, there usually is hard feelings that are generated because he's speaking the truth and they can't handle it. And verse 1 that we read says that Jesus is invited to this dinner, and the motivation is because they want to keep an eye on him. They want to watch him more closely. which is fascinating. You know, they've been watching him since the last dinner that they had together, and that was back in chapter 11. That's the one where Jesus showed up without bathing first, okay, a ceremonial cleansing type thing. He showed up without bathing first, and then he promptly, you know, kind of read them the riot act and called them a bunch of hypocrites. He called them hypocrites, he called them fools, he called them grave diggers, he called them murderers, he called them exploiters of the poor. Yeah, it makes sense they might want to keep an eye on him, because that was their last experience with him. You know? But why do they want him at their table? Why do they want him there? Well, if you think about it, it kind of makes sense. You know, you like to eat with people who matter, right? You like to eat with your family? Sure you do. Why? Because they matter to you, right? Well, we're all kind of like that. And you see, this wasn't just any meal. This was a Sabbath dinner. And it wasn't just any Pharisee. It was a Pharisee leader. Luke probably met one of the leading teachers of the Pharisees. So this was quite an honor to be invited to this dinner. So surely Jesus would behave in this context, right, choir? Not a chance. Not a chance. No. First thing he does. First thing, before dinner even starts, he has the nerve to heal a guy on the Sabbath. Now, this is not the same woman that we talked about last week. This is another guy that he healed on the Sabbath. And they kind of get upset with him. That's in the verses that we skip. Verses 2 through 6 tell about this healing that takes place. And then, as the guests are finding their seat, Jesus goes in and he kind of gives them a little word of advice, a little friendly counsel. Okay, now understand, in Luke's day, when they would eat together, it kind of went like this. The tables were low, all right, and they would recline to eat. It's kind of like if you imagine a bench that's here, and it one end's lower than the other, and you've got a few pillows on there, and you kind of lay sideways on this thing, and the pillows kind of keep you comfortable, and you eat with your right hand. And I was joking earlier, it looks like a typical Super Bowl party if you have too many people at your house, because you're all kind of laying around on the floor, and you're eating out of that. And then as they arranged themselves, the way the arrangement was, seating arrangement, it was kind of in the shape of a U, all right? And the people that were in the center part of the U could see everything. They could see everything. They could experience everything. You know, they could hear everything. And if there was too big a crowd, then they had to set up tables outside of that dining area, outside of the U. So they may be in another room, and although they could maybe hear a little bit what was going on, they could hear a murmur, and they could see, perhaps if they could get a glimpse through the doorways, they could see what was going on, but they were clearly outside of the main fellowship. Okay? So understand, that's what's going on. And people, you know, if Jesus told them, you know, you may be asked to leave, you may be asked to leave the seat of privilege, what he was saying is, you're out of the U, and you're put in one of the tables out on the porch. Okay, so they probably thought, well, he's got to be kidding. He's got to be kidding me. But he wasn't. Because, see, in Jesus' mind, fighting over the best seat, or who's going to be the greatest disciple, you know, who's going to be the person of influence, that is so far out of Jesus' point of reference. He said, you know, that's folly. It's not of God's kingdom. In Jesus' view, God's kingdom is a place where a sick, penniless beggar, when he dies, he gets to go and sit right beside Abraham at the big banquet in the sky. That's the image he wants us to understand. Remember a couple weeks ago? You know, in Jesus' view, when Master and Mrs. Master came home, you remember that story? Master and Mrs. Master come home, the slaves are waiting there. What did Mr. Master do? He fixed the meal and served it to the slaves, not vice versa. So in Jesus' view, if you want to be great, you've got to be what? A servant, the least. You know, that's what you've got to do. So, have we done that? You know, if the first shall be last and the last shall be first, have we done that? And understand, a lot of times, you know, people say, well, what does that mean exactly? You know, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Is he talking about, is that an eschatological thing? Is that when we die? What does that mean exactly? Here's what I think. It's not that Jesus wants us to change places. It's not that our status changes. It's that we remove status. That we remove all the markers of status. And that we're the same. It's not flipping places. It's eliminating places. That's what Jesus wants. Have we done that? You know, we're supposed to be a status-free group with all brothers and sisters in Christ just the same. But I'm really not so sure about that. You know, in individual congregations, there are people whose voices and opinions matter more than others, aren't there? Sure there are. Let's be honest. And often there's a strong correlation between influence inside and outside the church. You know, are there people who don't come to church because they've been hurt in the past because they haven't been heard or they haven't been considered? Sure there are. We tend to group ourselves, don't we? We tend to group ourselves by our education, our house we live in, car we drive, whatever else. We group ourselves. Sure we do. We may not fight over who gets to sit by who at the next church picnic, but we find out who we don't want to sit next to, don't we? And that's kind of a natural thing because we love to sit with our folks. We love to sit with the people we're most comfortable with. And Jesus understood that too. And he gave a parable to the people, but then when he was finished talking to the guest, he looked at the host and he kind of zaps them a little bit too. He says, you know, you Pharisees, you've invited all your friends here, your leaders, influential people. You know, you've brought them here. But here's the deal. Don't invite this lot to your parties. Because they'll just turn around and invite you back. And that's all the payment you get out of the deal. Instead, he says, invite the poor. Invite the disabled. Invite the homeless. And your return invitation will come from God. And it will be to go to his table. Sounds like a pretty good deal. And this time, I think Jesus is serious. Jesus seriously means for his followers to invite the poor to their tables. Don't invite your friends and family is hyperbole. You know what that means? It means he's not saying for, it's not a blanket statement. He doesn't mean you never invite your friends and followers, families. That's not what he's saying. Never, but he says it does mean that we do invite them, the poor, the downtrodden, the outcast. And that doesn't necessarily have to be at your home. Young people, you say, how does this apply to me? I don't invite. It applies in the school cafeteria. Who do you eat with? You eat with the people you're most comfortable with. What about those that are sitting by themselves or a group of two or something that you know they're kind of the outcast? Who eats with them? Yeah. Oh, wow. Preacher, ouch. Ruined my week. See, we do the same thing, don't we, as adults? We do the same thing. You see, meals are not just about eating. Meals are about the bonds between people. We share news, we share feelings along with the green beans. You know, we swap stories, we swap ideas while we're passing the muffins. That's what we do. And if we want to connect people to our congregation, we have to understand the dynamics of fellowship surrounding a meal. So when we have a meal, we include them. We get up from where we are and we go and include them. We hear them. We encourage them. That's what we should do. So how are we doing with that? Well, we'll find out Wednesday night, won't we? We'll find out Wednesday night because a lot of times I'm guilty too. Okay? We sit with the people that we've been used to sitting with. We sit at the table we always sit at. And we talk to the people we always talk to, right? And if somebody new comes in, they sit at a table by themselves or at the end of a table because they're afraid to sit in somebody else's seat. So they pick out a vacant spot, you know, and they may sit there for the whole meal. I don't think so. I think we do a pretty decent job at that, but you know, there's always room for improvement. We'll find out. Because when we're having fellowship together, if we want our fellowship meals and to represent the habits of what Jesus is telling us, to walk as Jesus walked, as Jeff said, if we're going to do that, if we're really going to live it out, we have to start with the meals. We have to start somewhere. And we need to invite those that society has disabled or cast out. That's what Jesus is saying. You know what else he said? We may even have to invite our enemies. But you see, everybody is welcome when Jesus is the host. That's the point. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, it's a hard lesson to hear because we do get comfortable with who we are and our circle of influence and the people we're most comfortable with. But Father, we pray that we would take the challenge we've been issued this morning, not just about meals, but about life. Not just about eating, but about encouragement and fellowship with people who are hurting and need us desperately to give a cup of cool water in your name, to reach out and touch them in a way that's significant and meaningful. We pray and we ask for your help. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, we stand at a crossroads here at College Park. We stand on the verge of change, of renovation, of recreation. And being human, yes, we're a little afraid. We're scared. We're cautious. We're deer in the headlights of change. Lord, turn our fear into excitement, our caution into childlike enthusiasm, our frozen stares into leaps of faith. And we present you now, Lord, with the fuel of all this progress, our tithes and offerings. Lord, we would ask you that you take them and us places we can't even imagine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. We have come to the part of our worship service this morning, our time of affirmation. This is a moment when we stop to pray and consider the start of a new year. We did this in our recreation service at 9 o'clock. It was a powerful time of worship and prayer and just getting things started right. That's what we're doing. You know, teachers, you've been working, some of you, for a couple of weeks now, some of you longer, to get your rooms ready, get things on the walls, to get books organized. Administrators, you've been trying to get all the paperwork, the classes set, the right mix of students for the right teachers. Parents, you've been shopping for school supplies and books, clothes. It's been a busy couple of weeks. Students, some of you have gone to high school for the first time. Some of you have gone to middle school for the first time. Some of you have gone to kindergarten for the first time. Some of you are in college for the first time. Some of you are a senior in college, and you got 1 year left before you got to go out in the real world. Everybody is in such a different place, facing difficult things. That's why this morning is so important. We're going to spend a few moments recognizing the adults that work with students at any level, here in church, in public, private school, in college. If you're an educator here at church, in a school, if you're an administrator, if you're a parent, if you're an adult in any such way that has anything to do with students, would you stand, please? We thank you for the difficult work that you do, the difficult job that you have. You change kids' lives just by your presence and your commitment to Christ. You change kids' lives, and for that we are thankful. Will we all pray together? Father, we thank you for these adults, these parents, these teachers, these administrators, these guidance counselors, these people who put children first. We thank you for their dedication first to you. They know that their strength comes from you and you alone. We pray, Father, for that strength this year, for your wisdom to know the right thing to do when that difficult decision comes, when the discernment is needed to decide to go left or to right or to stick. Give these adults your discernment. Give them your patience when dealing with young people, when dealing with other adults. Give them patience and remind them that all those people that they deal with were created by you. Give them the strength to treat those other adults and those children as you would treat them. And God, encourage them on the days they need to be encouraged and to move them forward when they just don't have the strength. Remind them that they are being the parent, the teacher, the professor, the counselor, the friend that you have called them to be. We thank you for these adults and for their dedication to you and their dedication to young people. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, if you are a student from elementary school, preschool, high school, middle school, college, graduate school, it hasn't been easy for you. Lots have been going on. You're facing a lot of things. And we want to spend a few minutes praying for you. Will you stand right where you are? If you're a student, doesn't matter how old you are, college, high school, graduate school, doesn't matter. The people of College Park love you and want to help you in any way that we can. You have a home here and are always welcome. You will find people that would encourage you and strengthen you when you don't think you can go on. As students, you are a priority of this church. And because you're a priority, we want to spend this time praying for you. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for these young people. I thank you for these students. No matter what school they're in, I pray, Father, that you would help them this year to focus clearly on their goal, on the goal that you have called them to. Give them clarity of mind. Give them purpose. Give them compassion for their fellow students. Let them see the people that are sitting beside them as you would see them. Give them strength and commitment that on the difficult days when you just can't study anymore, when you just can't write another paper, when you just can't do any more homework, give them the strength. Make them better people because of what they experienced this year. And when they become better people in you, they can change their world. I thank you for them. They are the heartbeat of our church. We thank you for your presence in their lives. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. We wrap all of this up by a responsive reading that you will find, this covenant that you will find in your bulletin. There is a place for parents, for teachers, administrators, Sunday school teachers, and students. You have one word. It has an exclamation point at the end of it. So it's not yes. It's yes. When it's your turn, we want to hear yes. Let's read together. By our faith in Jesus Christ, we are claimed as God's own and brought into a new community. Today we gather to celebrate the nurturing and teaching aspects of our faith community. Parents, you have been given the privilege of primary care for your children. At dedication, you agreed to teach and model for them a faith based on Scripture, the Apostles' Creed, and the Ten Commandments. Even now, as they are given additional opportunities to grow in faith with others, do you promise to continue in partnership with teachers and other church leaders through active support and involvement in specific tasks, modeling a Christian lifestyle at home? Yes. Teachers, you have accepted the privilege of nurturing children, youth, and adults in our faith community to increase their understanding of God's boundless love, acceptance, and forgiveness through Bible stories and learning activities. Do you promise to join in partnership with others in this faith community to affirm a lifestyle of faith and service? Yes. On your dedication day, students, we welcomed you as a member of God's family, and we all said yes to helping you learn what that means. But your attitude and your willingness to learn and grow are the keys to your faith development. Do you promise to come willingly to learn and grow with others? Yes. And together, at each dedication, we have joined together in surrounding children and their parents in a covenant for faith development. Do you, the body of College Park Baptist Church, do you promise to continue your support and involvement?
Yes.
Amen.
If you're here this morning and you're not a believer, we want to give you a chance to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to understand what it means to walk with Him daily. If you are here and you're a believer, but you say, I'm off the path a little bit, And I want to get back on track and walk as Jesus would have me to. This is your time as well. I'll be glad to talk with you. You're certainly welcome to come pray here or pray where you are and settle that with the Lord this morning. If you're here and you would like to be part of this fellowship, we do encourage our young people. We make no apologies about that. And we know that part of our responsibility is to nurture them and grow them and help support them. And it's a wonderful place to be. If you would like to be a member of College Park, there's many ways we receive members. I'd be glad to share that with you. But whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that public as we stand and sing together now. Following the benediction and response, I invite you to encourage one another as we go from this place. Give a hug, a handshake, a kind word before we depart. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who showed us how to live a life victorious, how to die a death that would be victorious, and that life will be eternal with you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.